Cardinal Rule Press. We are a publishing company that is remote. We were remote before COVID. So we have a team all over the United States, all over actually the world. We have team members and we love all children. We are here supporting all children in our realistic fiction picture books. But today we are celebrating March is Reading Month with some amazing writers and illustrators and creators. And so in order to do that, we're going to begin with some introductions from our community. So I will go ahead and turn it over. Let me go through our housekeeping real quick for classroom. So we typically get a small number live of classrooms, but the recording does go out. So I just want you to know that this is being recorded so that the classrooms can watch the replays. So friends, if you have questions, we do have the chat available. And so you can ask questions in the chat. You can wait till the end after our presentation and program to ask questions then. And also you will be able to unmute yourself to ask a question at the end if you would like. And you can do so by raising your hand below in the reactions. The last thing I wanted to point out is that you can turn on closed captions if that is better for you. You can use closed captions for reading purposes. So I like to have mine on, but you can do that. You'll see CC at the very bottom and you can click the arrow. And you can also do it in different languages. So I like to have it on my computer so that I can be sure that I'm hearing and reading everything that is being said. All right, without further ado, Sarah, would you like to introduce yourself to our community for March's Reading Month? Oh, so I'm gonna, ask you to unmute. Top security here. We do that for classroom purposes.
Hello. Hi. Very, very lovely to be here. This is amazing. I'm going to introduce myself very quickly. So my name is Sarah Sergey and I'm a children's author. And you can probably tell from my accent, I am based here in the UK. But I work with publishers all around the world. And I also write for publishing houses across Europe. So I like to think that I write books for children that help them to grow, but also to become inspired. So that's really, really important.
Where's Michelle? Michelle, hold on. Sorry. Michelle, where are you? We're missing Michelle. Go ahead. Keep going, Sarah.
So I write children's books and I've had a few published over the last few years. So I brought a few with me today. So I have The Slow Superhero, which helps children to realize that it's okay if you're a little bit slower and you're not the first and you're not the fastest. So that's a really special one for me. I've brought along one of my foreign editions just so you can see how my words get translated. So this is actually the Dutch edition and it's called My House, My Home. Which helps us to appreciate our homes that we're in, whatever they look like and wherever they are. There's things to find which are very special. And finally, this is hugely, hugely special to me because this is The Heavy Bag, which is releasing in the US with Cardinal Rule Press in under 2 weeks. So this is The Heavy Bag and it's a grief book. And I'm super, super, super excited. So hello, everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us from the other side of the world. We love that. Zoe, you show up next on my screen. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you to unmute and introduce yourself.
Hello. Hi, everybody. I am so happy to be here. And what a lovely, gorgeous panel you are as well. So I'm Zoe Arena. I'm a very new writer. In fact, I don't even have a book to hold. But I'm a debut author and my book, Mandy is Still a Banana, will be coming out next year. And actually on Friday, I was at a creative meeting about it. And it's just so exciting. I can't wait to share Mandy's message that being a banana is absolutely fine. So it's an existential story about a banana that doesn't want to be a banana. And she looks at all the other fruits and imagines life as a pineapple and other fruits and them as her fruit bowl friends. they all work to celebrate her. And in the end, they all realise the good things about who they are. So it's a journey of self-acceptance. And I think that really is what reading should evoke. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that introduction. And that's, I bet it's very exciting to hold the cover as much as it is, right? Like you have something to hold, which is so exciting. Let's see, Ali, and make sure that I'm pronouncing that correctly, please.
Yes, it's okay. Ali. Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I am a children's book author, but I started as a children's book editor, which is a person like Maria who helps other authors make books. So I've been doing that for about 20 years. And about 5, 6, 7 years ago, I started writing children's books of my own. And I have several published. I've brought them to show you today. The latest one is called The Great Big Me Experiment, which is a bunch of experiments that kids can do on themselves. It's got a little bit of social emotional learning in there, some body and brain stuff, really fun. There's 75 of them in here and they're exciting. And I love doing workshops on this one and seeing what the kids come up with. So that's nonfiction. I also write some other nonfiction, like hard science books about things like lemurs and bugs and dinosaurs. So that is one type of book that I write. I have a really fun collection of myths and legends, 22 of them from all across the world, which was really great to write. And the illustrations came out so wonderful. I do secretly want to be an illustrator myself. And this picture book, Bright Winter Night, came out about a year and a half ago. And it's about the Northern Lights, which is a phenomenon that happens in the Arctic Circle. And I think the Antarctic Circle too. So I like to write a lot about nature and about ourselves. And I said before that I secretly want to be an illustrator, which is probably why I made these two books called Draw This Book. It's a new series that I'm actually publishing myself as well. And inside of them, you can be the illustrator. So there's a whole story and very little pictures, and you get a chance to become the main character on the first page and draw all the adventures throughout the story. So that's the newest stuff that I'm working on. I'm excited to hear about what everybody else is working on.
Well, I love that. And you can bring a different perspective too, having worked in the industry for a long time, wearing a different hat. So let's not forget that. Yes. And are the Draw This books available currently?
They are. They're actually only available right now via our Kickstarter campaign. And that's running through the end of March, or March is reading month. And if anybody wants that information afterwards, I guess we can figure that out.
Yeah, if you email us, we send an email. We send the email out to everyone, I think tomorrow with the replay, and I'd love to include a link to that.
Thank you very much.
They'd be great for Easter baskets, just saying.
They are great for Easter baskets, birthdays.
Fantastic. All right, Michelle is next on my screen for introductions.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Michelle Worthington, and I am a children's author, a playwright, and a screenwriter. I started having my very first picture book published in 2011. So I have over 30 children's picture books published at this stage, too many to show you today, but I wanted to share with you my latest picture book, which is called Ruby's Repair Cafe. I'm so excited about this book. It's just been released in the UK and the US, as well as where I am here in Australia, and it's already won its first award. So it was a Children's Book Council of Australia's notable book. And I'm so super proud of this book because it talks a lot about how kids can actually repair and fix things instead of throwing them away, and how easy it is and how fun it is to actually take something that you think might be broken and see if you can find maybe a different and unusual way that you might be able to reuse that. And I've also got my very first poetry anthology that's coming out as well. So Magpies, Meat Pies and Mally Skies is for older kids, and it's Australian poetry. And then There's an Alien in My Pocket is my new anthology for younger kids.
Fantastic. And tell us what time it is in Australia right now. Uh-oh, she muted herself. Because we're coming from all different locations, and I guess we should have mentioned that. I don't think everyone did.
It is 3 a.m. in the morning.
Thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
I have coffee.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Excellent. And Caroline, I would like to know how to pronounce your name.
Can everyone hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm Caroline, just like the Neil Diamond song. I'm a Michigan-based author and illustrator. It's a bit intimidating because you guys are so distinguished. And I have to say that feeling the enthusiasm from each one of you is just, it's wonderful. And that's what makes the children's literature community just so amazing to be a part of. So I'm an author and illustrator. I started a children's book series called The Adventures of Fox. I don't know if you can see that here. It's about a little dog named Fox, and she has a tendency to get herself into a pickle. So in each of the stories. So the first one, she becomes lost and she has to rely on making new friends and being kind in order to find her way home. And the second book is something that I felt should be addressed, which is water safety. So being from Michigan, we're surrounded by lakes and many people have pools and things like that. So it's a nice topic to just start the conversation, and the story is still just a fun adventure with all the animals and, you know, Fox and her friends. So, so thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you for the introduction. So I think we have such a nice vast variety. Let's dig into really, I want to know something about each of you and your writing process. And Caroline, it could also be your illustrating process. So for example, I met an author a few years ago, and she writes young adult and middle grade. And she told me that when she writes, she has to have loud music on. And that was so interesting to me, because when I talk with students at schools, you know, a lot of students say it's hard for them to write when there's noises, they have to write in quiet. So I think it's interesting to hear a little bit about your process, or maybe some of your writing habits or tips that you might have. So I'm just going to open it up, and I will click the ask to unmute button so that you can unmute at any time and share, but there's no direct order that we have to go in.
I guess I'll jump in. Brave jumping in. So I think my process is kind of all over the place, and it depends on what I'm writing. Sometimes I have a deadline or a commission that I have to write to a specific time frame. And there's nothing like a deadline, I'm sure you guys can all agree, to get you to sit down in a chair and write. So when I've got a deadline or when I have a commission, I sort of schedule the time to sit down at my desk, which is in my living room, and it's usually during daytime work hours. But that's not the only type of writing that I do. Just like everybody else, I sort of have projects that I'm working on for myself that might or might not go anywhere. And those are sort of the dreamier projects. And I try to allow the space for those projects, for wordplay and dreaming and imagining. And so sometimes I'll be writing them when I'm not actually writing. So I'll be on a walk and I'll have some ideas, or I'm brushing my teeth, or I'm sleeping and then suddenly an idea wakes me up, which has happened before. So I kind of grasp the time and location wherever I can, and just sort of like lean into those moments. But I don't have like any specific thing that I'd like to eat or drink or music to listen to. I usually like to write when it's perfectly quiet.
Thank you for sharing that. Fantastic.
Yeah, can I jump in? Can you? Yeah. I'm actually quite similar to Ali. So I write in two different ways. So I have writing commissions, which are given to me from publishers, and I have a specific time, word count. You know, there's a lot of guidelines around that writing, so I work to that. But outside of that, when I'm writing picture books for myself, it is dreamy, and I'm quite erratic, and I used to be really envious of other writers because they'd have these wonderful writing routines, and I was thinking, well, why aren't I like that? Because I'm, you know, I'll just write whenever or when an idea comes. You know, I often have a notepad by my bed, And I'll wake up in the night and I'll think of something. And I was actually asked this question a couple of weeks ago in another interview. And I said, oh, it's quite erratic. I had so many messages from other writers saying, yes, thank you, I'm exactly the same. So I think whether that's the creative in us that comes out, I'm not sure, but I don't really have this writing process in regards to time and space when it's something for me, when I'm using my creativity. Mm-hmm. One thing that I will say, and this may be possibly part of a routine, I'm not sure, I always write pencil to paper first. If I try and write things straight onto my laptop, onto a tablet, it kind of stops me. There's a little bit of a sort of break in the middle. So I'm much better just to let things flow through a pencil onto paper. So yeah, that's my routine.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'm exactly the same as Sarah. And I think it's also really important to show kids that we don't get it perfect the first time. So this is one of my first drafts that you can see here. It's actually written on the back of like a floor plan that I had for one of the events that I was doing. So I was doing a market and I came up with an idea for a story. And one of my favorite things to do is show kids first drafts, just how messy, and it's like you take the idea out of your brain, stick it on a trampoline and jump up and down until it kind of gets in the right order. And it's not just authors who do this as well, it's illustrators as well. And I know Carolyn might be able to speak a little bit to that, but you know, illustrators are doing their rough drafts, and I think that's a little bit of a relief for kids to know that we don't get it perfect the first time, and it's very much just getting it out of our head and onto paper and then smooshing it together until it looks like a picture book.
Thank you, Michelle. And I think it's important to note that, Michelle, you had mentioned that you are a playwright and a screenwriter as well, because sometimes children think, okay, writing, I can write books. Well, there are so many different things that you can write. And so would you like to share maybe a play or, you know, something that you've written that looks different than a book?
Absolutely. So these here are my screenwriting folders, and down here are my play folders. Now, none of those screenwriting ones have actually been on screen yet, but we have got my very first play that's being produced in July, which is called School for Fairy Godmothers. And it looks very different. So when you have a book, obviously it's a lot easier for a picture book to write by hand. But then when you've got something that is a script, it looks very different and it has to be printed out. So the great thing about figuring out how to write stories is once you figure out how to kind of do it, like beginning, middle and end, you can write whatever you want. And the sky's the limit. And I think the longer that we do that, the longer that we're in the industry, the braver we get. And we start going, oh, maybe I might like to try chapter books, or maybe I might like to have a go at writing a movie. And we're not brain surgeons. So if it doesn't work, nobody dies. It just kind of sits on our shelf and doesn't do anything for a little while. So I think it's wonderful to get the bravery knowing that you can write something. And even if it doesn't turn into a book or a play or a movie straight away, it's still sitting there on your shelf waiting for the right time.
Excellent. Excellent. We have a friend whose father, he had a movie come out, and it sat on his shelf for decades before it went onto the screen. And so that's a long time, but it's possible. Anything's possible. Zoe or Caroline, would you like to speak to your process?
Yeah, sure. Just going back to the routine point, I also, like apparently so many of you, don't have an actual routine. I try. I mean, I do have a routine in the sense that I have a predictable pattern of when I could be writing something. But the inspiration strikes at really weird times, you know, and it's the thing that it's the spark of an idea that inspires me to push through that works. That doesn't really make grammatical sense, but The ideas that work for me tend to be the ones that are the weirdest, and I kind of push and pull and drag into a shape that's still got that nugget of something a little bit odd. So inspiration comes at any time, and just go with it. That's what I'd say. We are not perfect and we can make things good.
Fantastic. That's 100% correct. Like, it doesn't have to be the most grandiose, crazy, you know, situation that can spark a story idea. For mine, it was my dog met a turtle while we were out on a walk, and it sparked this entire series, and, you know, it was pretty life-changing too. So you can find inspiration in just your everyday occurrences, and that creativity and imagination that comes with that, that's the really fun part. I'm also unregimented in my writing.
Caroline, can you tell us a little bit about your illustration process and what materials you use?
Oh, sure. So I've been drawing since before I could talk, according to my parents. So I've always just picked up a pen or pencil and paper, just the most simple materials. And I still illustrate that way. I start the character design just with pencil and paper and start to work out any particular characteristics. And now with the beauty of technology, I can bring those drawings into my iPad, and I actually use an Apple Pencil and I can color all those in. And the beauty of that is that you never run out of your favorite color. So you'll have like the perfect pencil edge and all of your favorite colors in a palette. And I use that throughout every story. And it's just, it's a really fun process.
Oh, that's wonderful. Sorry, Allie. there we go.
Thank you.
Okay, super. That is just really, really neat to hear. And what I found, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, is that not one of you has a routine, like a specific routine. I love that. I really do. I it makes me feel so much better because I don't either. And, you know, it's hard to be able to say, sit down, write this right now. I think inspiration has to definitely come. And that's why I like to tell boys and girls, we understand it can be hard because you're in school and writer's workshop is at a specific time. But that's why your teachers usually have you create a list of ideas so that you can go back to those ideas and say, okay, I'm not sure what I want to write today. I'm going to go back to my ideas. Okay, I can pick from those ideas. I think that's important. Excellent. So a lot of you have books that are sitting nearby you. And this was not on my agenda. I'm going off script here. Can you share with us something that turned out really well in one of your books, or something that you were really excited about, or something unique or special about something in one of your books? Because I want you to share something with the students listening for March's Reading Month that is special because they have met you on this panel. Something that they wouldn't know buying the book at the bookstore. So I'll give you an example. In my book, Spaghetti and a Hot Dog Bun. So I don't know. Let's see. I'll have to repin myself. In my book, Spaghetti and a Hot Dog Bun, this book has a cardinal on, it's hidden on many pages. And so you can see here, it's hidden on a book, it's hidden on a hat. And the reason I did that is because whenever I see a cardinal, it gives me a moment to, it's a very unique bird and, you know, they're not super popular. So when I see a red bird, a cardinal here in Michigan, it gives me a moment to pause and to think about my loved ones that are no longer with me. And that was my inspiration when I started Cardinal Rule Press, is everything was centered around the cardinal bird. And so really there's a lot of love in the company and the development of our books. So that's something that you wouldn't know unless you met me. So who else would like to share?
I was going to say, actually, I saw yourself, Maria, the other day give a talk about one of your books, and you mentioned something which is exactly what I did. So in my book, The Slow Superhero, there's a dog called Oscar. And Oscar is actually our family dog. And I loved listening to you because you were saying, Maria, how when you write books, it's your story, it's your time, and you can bring in people in your life who mean something to you. So in all of my books, I'm slowly managing to get my daughters, I've got four daughters, I'm slowly managing to get them all into books, and they keep saying to me, Mum, when's it my turn? You know, what book am I going to be in? Who am I going to be? So this was all going on, and I thought, hang on a minute, we've got one little boy in our house, Oscar the dog, and he's very special to us. So he does actually feature in The Slow Superhero. And I just thought it was, yeah, when I saw you the other day. So yes, it is your story. Write it and include who you want.
Fantastic. Anyone else? Go ahead, Zoe.
I can share a visual that highlights the magic that happens when words and images just really, really kind of become one, as they should in picture books. So this might not be a final visual, but so we have a fruit bowl, and then we have this gorgeous townscape in the background, drawn by Amy Louise Evans, who's fantastic. And when she included, so I'll just show it again, this townscape with a moon that is in the shape of a banana, it just really impressed me because it, A, made me kind of feel like, yes, there's an outside world. This is a story about a fruit bowl and their friends, but there's another world and life and other people, and we're all connected. And that's what reading does and looking at pictures does. It's an insight into other worlds, other viewpoints, and we are all connected.
Beautiful.
Which is a bit grandiose, but hey, it's true.
I could. First of all, I love that. That was beautiful. And this is the point where my dog Foxy actually met the turtle. I don't know if you guys can see
yeah.
that. And that's what it looked like in my imagination. So I drew it. And that's what you could do with your own books too. And then I have one other really quick one in Safety First. The red fox jumps in to save Fox the dog. And so as an illustrator, what was really fun about this one was trying to show within a 2D medium water. And you're actually showing some of the animals underneath the level of the water, but it's also quite graphic too. So more on the illustrator side, but yeah, it was a really fun one to illustrate.
Thank you for sharing.
And sometimes, yeah, illustrators have to do that too, because this book, Hootie the Cutie, I write a lot about Australian animals, and this was actually about a tawny frogmouth owl that we have here in Australia who aren't very cute at all. And the illustrator was having trouble making Hootie look cute enough, so the illustrator turned Hootie pink with love hearts on her belly. The trouble was, it was a story about an owl in the Australian bush, and you've never seen a pink owl in the Australian bush. So I had to change it so that Hootie was no longer an owl in the Australian bush, but she was an owl in an enchanted forest. So unless you're like a magical unicorn creature like Caroline, who can be an author and an illustrator, you have to work together with an illustrator. And sometimes that means changing your words. You do need to be a little bit resilient and work together as part of a team. But I mean, I love this. Like having a pink owl, it just, the Disney princess in me was kind of screaming, going, oh my goodness, that's just such a great idea. But I would never have originally thought of that, because it was originally about Australian animals.
Yeah, Michelle, that's a really good point. A lot of times when you're an author, you don't actually get to collaborate with the illustrator directly. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes your text will be what informs the illustrator on how to draw your book. And sometimes you'll have an idea of what you want it to be, and then the illustrator does something totally different and it blows you away. So I just wanted to give a shout out to one of my illustrators, Ashlyn Lindsay, who did the artwork in Bright Winter Night, which is my picture book about all the forest creatures because she came up with all of these adorable forest creatures. Awesome. And they build a sleigh together. That's part of the story. But like here they are all sledding together. She did an amazing job. When I wrote the story, I did not necessarily envision those particular animals, but I'm thrilled with what she came up with. But that's not actually what I was going to talk about. I just thought Michelle made a really great point. I had to run across the room to get the book that I wanted to share with you when Maria said she was going off script. So I, just a little backstory, I grew up in a beach town in New York, near New York City on Long Island. But now I live near London, which is very, very far away. And I don't get to go back very often. And especially during the pandemic, I didn't get to go back for probably 2.5 years, which was terrible. But then Nat Geo came to me and said, would you write a book about the beach? And I said, absolutely. And so in my mind, I was able to go back to the beach and I was really basing this nonfiction book on my beach town. And so it really transported me back. So as an author, you get to go to places in your mind, just like you do as a reader, right? But the little thing that is inside this book, little surprise that I wanted to share with you all is that I dedicated this book to my entire high school graduating class. So it's on the credits page. And it tickles me that like one of my former classmates might pick up this book with their kid and see that they have this book dedicated to them.
Oh, I just got the chills. That's lovely. Thank you for sharing that. That's really special. That is really special. And boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, this is also special to go off script sometimes because you get really special nuggets like this. So thank you very much. We appreciate that. So what we are going to do next as we start to wrap up our program is we're going to start sharing some advice we have to our youngest, our young and older, I would say, because we do have some aspiring writers in this group as well. What are some tips and advice you have for writing and picture books and writing in general?
I mean, for picture books, what I always say to children, and I've run a few picture book workshops, and sometimes we just get stuck for words, and then children say, I just can't write this picture book. You don't have to write the words. If it's in your mind here, you can release those words or that story or your imagination in any way that works for you at that time. So sometimes I'll have an idea in my mind, but I just don't feel that I'm ready to write it yet, or I'm struggling a little bit. So I will record myself talking various parts throughout the story, just little ideas so I don't forget them. And I think that's really important to realize that if you want to write a book, you don't always have to go through the writing process to begin with. Don't put that pressure on yourself. If you've got an idea and it's in your imagination, you can just record yourself saying it, you can keep it in your mind, and you can just get that story out however best works for you.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah,
the blank page could be really scary, can't it?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Caroline.
My best piece of advice on both the art, the visual art, as well as the writing, is to pay attention to everything around you. So the more detailed you can be in your mind with your words and with the forms of things, it can really, really help you when you're going to create. So, you know, you pay attention to how the sunlight's dappling through the trees or how the leaves are moving in the wind. Those little things can make things feel so full in your storytelling and your drawing.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Caroline. Invest in notebooks. I have a gazillion notebooks, but I always have one with me at all times. And pencil for me works best. Also, it does help if you have like an obsession with buying super cute notebooks because you have an excuse all the time to buy like super cute stationery, which I just love. So for kids watching, you have to be a story detective. There are stories hidden everywhere. You don't have to go somewhere special. You don't have to do a special course. You don't have to do anything but open your eyes and look for the stories that are hidden in plain sight. And then have that real life inspiration and add like an imagination icing over the top. Sometimes if you're stuck and you're looking at a blank piece of paper and there's just nothing coming, one of the things that I love to do in our school visits is to start from a place of real life. Like Bluey says, for real life. We start for real life and we think about things that are important to us or things that are already something that we know a lot about, and then we change them and we look at them from a really interesting or cool or different perspective, and we add that imagination icing over the top. And sometimes the best stories are the ones that are based on for real life.
And just sort of riffing off of that a little bit, Michelle, but especially because it's your story, you can't get it wrong. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be unique, original, interesting, because it comes from you, and nobody else can write the same story. So that's one of the things that I would say. And then to sort of expand a little bit on something Michelle had said a while ago, like 20 minutes ago, when I was accidentally muted, I did want to jump in because she says she has folders and binders of things that are just sitting on the shelf that haven't been published yet. I've got, you know, folders in my computer and drawers where things are kept. And all of it is part of the writing process. If it doesn't get published or it doesn't get produced in some way, that's okay, because that's sort of like a stepping stone to the next thing that you're going to write. So it's okay if you write something that's never going to see the light of day. That's part of your next story that you're writing, because every time you write something, it makes you a better writer.
Just riffing off what Ali has just said there, absolutely, there is no such thing as a bad idea, because a bad idea can spark a decent idea, and a decent idea can spark something brilliant that you didn't expect. So just get something down and feel that your own words have weight.
Mm-hmm. Wow, fantastic advice. Wow. Are there any last words as we wrap up? I've gone through questions, and I think we have covered everything that is coming through. Yeah, and I don't, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to raise your hand, if you'd like to ask your question unmuted, I'm happy to do that. Let's see. I don't think so. I don't think anyone's raising their hands. So any last final words as we wrap up this March's Reading Month panel with these talented artists and creators?
I would just say, you know, this March is Reading Month, and for everybody to have the opportunity, but also to find that love of reading in the month of March and beyond, we need to be writing as many stories as we can. And that's for you guys out there as well. Go and write your stories. Things that mean something to you, things that you've experienced. You know, the more diverse, the better. Go out there, write those stories, because they're months like this when we focus on reading really mean something, because the choice that's going to be out there for children to be able to read is just going to keep growing. So just go and write that story.
That's lovely. And we have Shirley from Rochester, New York, who said that this was wonderful. She used the word swell. And then Edie also said, thank you for the inspiration. So just so much appreciation for you coming here and speaking. And like Sarah said, it's March's Reading Month, but books are available all year long. And if you haven't fallen in love with reading yet, maybe you're not picking up the right book. And so try something different. I know my husband, Dave Desmondi, he loves reading nonfiction. And the kids have said, how come dad doesn't go to the library and read like we do? And I said, he reads different types of, you know, books. He likes to read news articles and research articles, and that's still reading. So just if you haven't found something that you love yet, keep searching, because there is a book out there for you. All right, from all over the world, another listener, Kim, said, always wonderful to hear from authors. Thank you so much for sharing your unique journeys. From all over the world, let's give the children and ladies and gentlemen a big goodbye, a wave from all over. Thank you so much to our talented panelists today. We appreciate you. And Michelle, go back to bed. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank
bye,
you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.